Welcome back to Here and Now from New Hampshire Public Radio. Today, as voters cast their ballots in the country's first primary of this election season, in a Republican race in particular that's been like no other, we've seen front runners come and go. People here in New Hampshire have been telling us, just as I begin to like a candidate, they're down, they're up. You know, Here and Now's Fred Tice has been reporting from New Hampshire for quite a while now. Fred, where are we catching you, and what's your sense of the voters right now? We've been seeing polling showing record numbers of people undecided as they head to vote.
Well, Robin, I am in this little town called Mount Vernon where we've been following voters for the last several months. It's kind of the perfect little Courier and Ives town. This morning I saw kids playing with their parents, playing ice hockey on the pond. And mm-hmm. You know, it's a town where it's got all these beautiful walls that you might find in a Robert Frost poem. People here are really excited about this primary, and they're excited for a number of reasons. One, they just love being the first in the nation primary and influencing what happens afterwards. They also are really excited, the Republicans and the independents voting in the Republican primary, about the opportunity to vote President Obama out. And they're telling me that they really like the choice of candidates that they have this year.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, part of the reporting for the last several days has been, and even this morning, we couldn't find a lot of excitement. We also found, frustrated voters, undecided voters, voters who might be voting but without a lot of passion. But you're saying to balance that, you're finding a lot of excitement.
Yeah, and you know, this whole thing about the poll showing that voters are undecided, that's always the case here in New Hampshire. They decide at the last minute, you know, kind of walking to the polls or having their morning coffee, or a colleague of ours said last night, over a glass of wine before they go to bed and get up the next day to vote.
And so, Fred, what's the turnout been like there? Excitement on the part of voters, but has it been high turnout?
Yeah, for this little town, it's been pretty high. The first hour, they had 60 voters. Now, you know, there's only a little bit more than 1,000 voters in town. So the people manning the polls, the people at the polls thought that the turnout was pretty darn good. And statewide, the University of New Hampshire's Andy Smith is expecting a record turnout, as is the Secretary of State.
One last question for Tyes. Do you get a sense there, no names, because, you know, we're letting people think about their choice today, but do you get a sense there that there is going to be a jockeying for second?
Very much so. I heard people mentioning their reasons for voting for almost all of the, certainly four of the candidates that are running here in the primary, and everyone very enthusiastic about their candidates.
Yeah. Fred Tyes from the bucolic town of Mount Vernon, New Hampshire, where it is not some PR person sending those people out to skate on the pond. They really do that. Fred, thanks so much.
Yes, thanks, Robin.
And now we're back in the studios of New Hampshire Public Radio with Dante Scala, scholar of all things New Hampshire primary, professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire, author of Stormy Weather, the New Hampshire Primary and Presidential Politics. And just touch on that for just a second, Dante. You know, Fred talking about there really is a pond. People really are out there ice skating. There really are walls. Robert Frost really did live here and write poetry. And yet this rubs up against some New Hampshireites sometimes. Both, you know, I feel like a fierce kind of wanting to claim this image of a New Hampshireite, but on the other hand, not wanting to be caricatured as some people who just stand by walls that make good neighbors.
Yeah, I think there's a sense of, you know, sometimes the spirit of the New Hampshire primary feels like an endangered species in a way, because everyone congregates here, all the media and so forth, to watch the action. And I think it's like people go into the national forest, like there's too much traffic and people come to see what's going on in the natural habitat, and it recedes as a result. But there are still places, like, you know, like Fred said, in Mount Vernon, far away from all the glitz on Elm Street in Manchester with the media personalities going in and out of the Radisson Hotel. Then there are, I guess, these little towns like Mount Vernon, or say Peterborough, these little Pepperidge Farm towns where people just go about their business and go and vote, and then they go about their business. And then tonight it all adds up sometimes to these magical moments that no one expected.
Well, you know, it's funny. You could say that it's as in trotting too much through a forest, you could endanger it. But on the other hand, there's also the feeling of, and we're a part of it, you know, there'll be a scrum of reporters. Oh, look, someone in a plaid jacket, you know, everyone focuses on them. Or you can bump into each other going in and out of the Canterbury Country Store. You know, Tony there is such an outspoken, you know, runner. She runs the store and she's so clear-eyed and outspoken, speaks her mind. Or the Tilden Diner, you know, or the Red Arrow in Manchester, where they actually have a sign out front, you know, here we are. You know, you can almost I don't know, certainly the media gets caricatured, but you can almost overstate by focusing on two or three places and saying this represents New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, there's always these calls every 4 years, like, where is the representative place in New Hampshire? And it ignores the diversity of the state, because mm-hmm. in the state you can find both affluent suburbanites and working class social conservatives. And so this kind of image of the Yankee Republican, you know, Yankee Republicans have by and large gone away, and they've been replaced by, say, East Coast retirees who moved up north for all the amenities of living in a rural area.
As we've said, some of the mills have been converted to, software manufacturers. But you mentioned the diversity. There is an area where the state is not diverse. I think it was 94% white. We met some African Americans in Manchester yesterday, but they were Mormons from the Congo who, you know, were interested in Mitt Romney, you know. And it's... What do you say to that? I mean, that rankles some people in the state, and it's not our fault, but mm-hmm. can the state hold on to its sort of place in the primaries without representing not just African Americans, but Hispanics?
Yeah, I mean, it's a case not so much on the Republican side as on the Democratic side. This diversity question comes up. You know, in the Republican side, New Hampshire Republicans represent diversity in a sense of ideological diversity in terms of what issues they find to be important, what they prioritize. Tends to be a different sort of thing. I mean, by no stretches do people think the National Republican Party these days is centered in New England. They look to the South, they look to the West, and yet New Englanders bring something to the table. And New England values are brought to the table by virtue of the primary.
Yeah. And just some nuts and bolts on the primary. How does it work here? We know more independents in the state, but who gets to vote in what column?
Well, undeclared voters in the state, who are roughly 4 out of every 10 registered voters, have the choice on election day. They go to their polling place and they are asked, do you want a Democratic ballot or do you want a Republican ballot? And undeclared voters can go either way. They can choose one ballot or the other, and you're offered a form to fill out on your way out the door. So you go, you fill out your ballot, you put it in the machine or what have you, and then you can fill out your form and revert to undeclared status. So those undeclared voters can literally become a Republican or a Democrat for the time it takes to cast a ballot, and then they can go right back from whence they came.
And just one more question on the technical part. This is for the first time, I think, for Republicans, a proportional primary season. In other words, for at least half the season, it's not winner take all. That really has changed things up. It really does matter. Second, third, or you're saying maybe no?
Well, we'll see. I mean, the rules have adjusted, but a lot of times it's not about the delegates. It's about a candidate winning early and gaining widespread acclaim as the front runner. Elites congregate behind that candidate and voters follow suit. So the question will be, if things divide, someone wins, you know, candidate X wins New Hampshire, candidate Y wins South Carolina, candidate Z wins Florida, that's when all those kind of machinations about delegate allocation may come into play, say, in the springtime.
And just as we say goodbye to New Hampshire Public Radio, just such terrific hosts for us here. I know we both are sort of liking this studio, aren't we, Dante Scala? Just in the few seconds we have, New Hampshire going to be okay after this? Is this going to, you know, is it going to maintain its legacy?
Yeah, I suspect we'll be doing this all over again in 4 years. Yeah. I certainly hope so.
I think you will. Dante Scala, professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire, author of Stormy Weather, the New Hampshire Primary and Presidential Politics, terrific anecdotes in that book. Dante, thanks as always for helping us out today.
You're welcome.
And again, thank you so much to our friends at New Hampshire Public Radio here in Concord, New Hampshire. We're heading to the diner. Here and Now, a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. We'll have all the results tomorrow. Here and Now.